Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host today for Women Who Lead, and I am delighted to say that our topic today is pretty exciting. We're going to be talking about supporting and honoring women veterans and women warriors for life. So I'm delighted to say that our leading lady today with our topic is Jodi Grenier, and Jodi is the executive director for the Foundation for Women Warriors. More than that, she herself is a female veteran. Jodi began her career in the United States Marine Corps, and this is a lot of term here, but Jodi started in the Marine Corps serving the 1st Marine Division, G2, Military Intelligence. She's got a lot to share with us, and I think all of us really want to celebrate and recognize those female veterans that do what they do. So Jodi, say hello to all of our listeners, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Hi, everyone. So glad to be a part of this.
I always love when I tell our guests, hey, say hello to everybody. And you're like, who's everybody, right? It's like, but welcome to the show. Hello, listeners. I'm glad to have you on our show, girl. I mean, I I'm a big fan of what you are doing. And I have to say a couple things that we're pretty excited about with you. And that is, number one, we decided that the Foundation for Women Warriors is our nonprofit beneficiary for both of our upcoming Women of Influence Awards, which recognizes Women's History Month. So excited on that front. And then number two, I want to congratulate you because you are up as a final nominee for one of our awards. So someone thinks a lot of you and all you're doing. So congratulations on being a final nominee for our Women of Influence Awards as well.
Thank you so much. I'm just so overwhelmed. One, from the support of CWI. We are so grateful, Foundation for Women Warriors. And two, I'm just truly humbled that anyone thinks that I'm someone to watch. It's unbelievable that I was nominated.
I always crack up when women say that, Jodi, because I always go, come on, just take the compliment. Take the compliment that somebody thought you were all that. We need to do that more as women. But anyway, I digress. What I'm excited to talk to you about today is just some of the things going on with female veterans. I think so many of us that are either professional women or business leaders, you know, we want to support our veterans more. I know that there's so many different initiatives out there that are helping veterans find jobs, get employment, you know, match their skills from the military to now civilian life. But in conversations you and I have had, it's like seems to me that the male veterans have a little bit more going on, and we don't really kind of gear in on some of the needs that women veterans have. Can you kind of talk a little bit about that and where their needs are very specialized from what I understand, right?
Right. Well, you know, a part of that is women historically have been such a small part of the military. When you think about the Korean War, Vietnam, that was about 5%, and we've grown so much over the past 20 years. Currently, we sit at around 15 to 18%. So it's really easy if you think about, as a business owner, if you know, you only have 5% to 10% of your employees are women, it's easy to overlook them. Some of the needs, though, are being addressed, but not at the rate that we're growing. The major issues are always employment, education, housing, and then, of course, childcare, which is sometimes unique to just women. You know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of a lot of women that are either single mothers or have gone through a divorce, or sometimes you just, you know, you have dual working partnerships in which child care is pretty costly.
Well, it is in the choice of, you know, I mean, I'm curious. It's like, because you were a women, you know, women vet, right? Or do we even say women, but we just say veteran, right? And if I didn't say, I'm really curious, because one thing, you know, we see people do, and I know we're on the radio, but I'm really curious, because every time someone says I'm a veteran, it's like, I want to go, thank you so much for your service. You know, does that feel good to you when people do that? Is that something we should be doing, or is it just, you know, don't do that? Because I really mean it when I say, you know, we haven't done what you've done, but is that kind of a nice statement when people say that to you as a veteran? I'm really curious for your opinion.
I think it depends. It varies person to person. The things that have developed out of the veteran space recently is, you know, thank me, but also ask me what's next and help me. And I really like that concept of, you know, it's okay to thank me for my service, but also if you have something that can make me more successful or ask me what my next mission is, that would be great because maybe we can work together. And I think that ending the conversation at thank you, depending obviously if it's the grocery store or something of that nature where it's just not the environment. But if it is an environment where you meet a veteran and you're in a place where you can help someone, you know, ask them what's next. What are your goals? What's your next mission? And how can I be of service to you now?
Can I say that is the coolest answer you could have you said? I'm like, that's so cool, because I think, you know, so many of us walk around as professionals and go, what can we do? What should I say? How should I act? It's like, what are the things I can do? You know, people want to help, right? And I know you see and interact, and, you know, you see so many of the needs of what women veterans need. And thank you for that, because I'm going to remember that. It's like, what can I do? What's next? Is there anything I can do to support you? I mean, and it's got to be said, of course, with, you know, with integrity and all that. But I do think a lot of people don't know what to say, you know, when someone's introduced that way or they meet someone that is a veteran. So thank you for that. Shifting gears a little, I know, you know, you talked about those things of what women veterans need the most is kind of the employment, the housing, the child care. There was one other, you know, are there, you know, with women, it's like, what can we do, you know, to be supportive of women veterans a little more? You know, I know your foundation does so many things. So my first question is, what do you see that we as professional women or women owners or career women can do to support other women veterans?
Mentorship. That's what we need the most. I think that, at the end of the day, you know, everyone has basic needs, whether it's housing or financial needs. But the underlying issue is, how am I going to get to the next step if those needs are met? How, after a career of whether it's 5 years or 20 years of service, I'm now entering a space that is unknown to me and I don't have a network, or I don't, my mentors are either still in the military or going through the same process I am, and they're no longer able to give me that valued advice. So mentorship is definitely huge, because it, one of my personal initiatives and initiatives of the foundation is to bridge that military-civilian divide. And part of that is, you know, we have such great skills coming out of the military, but, you know, having the conversation with someone of, this is what I did, and then someone can say, oh, so maybe you would be good at this, or maybe I can help you write that in a term that, it, you know, translating those skills, but mentorship is huge. And that's on the responsibility of the veteran to be open to it, because we tend to isolate ourselves and say, well, civilians don't understand. Well, civilians do understand the civilian space, so you have to be humble enough to accept. And also on the civilian side, knowing that you're dealing with someone that's worked 365 days out of the year or extreme hours and just isn't sure of their passion or identity anymore, and treating that delicately but still in a mentoring manner.
You know, I mean, this is good. I want to be frank, and I want our listeners to know that I think so many of us in business, you know, this is kind of like my take, and I'd love your perspective, is you see so many like career fairs and companies and consultants that are out there saying we support veterans. And yet then interacting with like you and maybe some other folks that really truly are in the trenches, whatever phrase can I use, in the trenches, that they're like they're interacting with veterans directly, they'll say that there's things that are missing still. I mean, the dots aren't getting connected for veterans to find jobs. I mean, do you find that still, that there's just still a big need, even though I keep seeing nonprofits and agencies and all these things going on to support veterans, but yet there's still, it's not happening, or is it? You know, I mean, you're in that space. What's your opinion of what is not serving the needs for veterans right now, and specifically female ones?
I think overall veterans, the system is not designed for a smooth transition. So let's say you're a medical emergency personnel in the military. You're a corpsman or a medic. You've saved lives in the battlefield, or you've worked in a hospital for 4 or 5 years, or even sometimes 10 to 15. But when you get out, you don't even have as little as a certified nursing assistant certification. You have to retrain and get all these certifications that otherwise you have all the experience. And I think that's frustrating. It's extremely frustrating from someone who's worked and has a certain skill level for them to then get out, and it's not just medical, it's also you can't even go drive a truck even though you drove a truck for 6 years. So I definitely think that is a hindrance of if someone actually liked what they were doing but no longer wanted to be in the military or retired from the military, they can't just transition into that job. And some of these are leaders. They've been in charge of not just 10 or 12 people, they've been in charge of entire units. So there's that. And I think for women, it's many parts. One of them is what I just discussed. The next is when you're in the service, you're gender neutral. And you put your hair up in a bun every day. You're not necessarily wearing nail polish. You're going to work. You're doing your job. But now the civilian space, it allows for you to dress however you want, but figuring that out, and also, you know, some of the women that are in the military, maybe all of them, are just tough as nails, and so learning how to just be delicate, but also assertive, and not be taken the wrong way, is something that, it's an intangible kind of develops, like your growth in that develops through mentorship and finding your calling again.
And I know we're going to have you on the show again, because I think this is fascinating that, you know, we want to support, we want to mentor, at least within our association and others. I know, Jody, that there's just so much people wanting to do things, they just don't know what to do. But for you, with your experience, what is it like to transition out of the military? I mean, is it that you get your papers and then they're like, okay, see you later, you know, or can you kind of share with everybody so we as professional women kind of understand? What was the process like?
So I ended my service in 2005, and at the time there weren't a whole lot of nonprofit organizations or transition assistance programs out there. And so I essentially got my papers, and at 22 years old, about to be 23, I said, I'm going to wing it. You know, I'm getting out of the service. and to me, I was in a position where I didn't have children. I didn't have any dependents. So I could just get out and wing it for a little while. But then I started to realize once I went to a community college, I didn't have anyone, you know, I came from a working class family. So I didn't have anyone that said, you should probably go to this state school, or why don't you apply to this better school? And then I went to work, and I was working as a waitress and a bartender, and I remember one night I was reading off the, I was thinking about the, or giving the special to a customer, and I said to myself, this really, you know, in layman's terms, this sucks. I was briefing General Mattis, who is now the Secretary of Defense, you know, or briefing my colonel who briefed him, and now I'm, like, I'm worth so much more than this job right now. I have so many skills that I'm not using.
Right.
And it really, I didn't, you know, it took me a long time to figure out my path. And that's why I'm so passionate about what I do and about helping veterans, is because, you know, challenges are inevitable. However, the challenges that I went through and that others go through can be not necessarily mitigated, but lessened. The struggle can be lessened if they do connect with an organization and someone does mentor them, or they, you know, their basic needs are met through a different program. So now there are programs out there, but there's still you know, it's still being able, there's roadblocks to getting on these bases and actually touching some of the veterans and saying, our organization can help you. The military is getting a little bit better about that, and the VA is getting better about that, but for the past couple of years, and especially since these wars, we haven't really done a good job of creating a program right out of service that's beneficial to the military veterans.
I think that's key, but then on the same token, you know, I mean, it's like, I can't even imagine coming out of the military and your whole, you know, your whole network is there with others that are in that, you know, that realm, right? So you come out of it and then you're in the civilian world. And the thing I know that for me, you know, growing up and coming out of college, and what's worked for me in business, Jody, is that, you know, nobody really wants to network, but we all want a network, right? And we want to have people
exactly.
that we can converse with, and that we can say, you know, am I losing my mind? Is this right? Give me some feedback, or just, you know, the camaraderie to say, you know, we're kind of in this together. And so my curiosity is that, are there kind of groups and organizations where female veterans can, you know, kind of have some of these collaborative conversations, or then, but they need to be acclimated to the business community, right? So what are your thoughts on how to kind of acclimate them more to the business community?
Exactly. And one thing I forgot to mention is, to boot, as a woman veteran or a female veteran, when you get out, no one recognizes you as a veteran. You don't have a certain haircut. No one assumes that you serve. So when you do, it's kind of a throwback. But the way businesses can connect better. I guess, you know, there's organizations. I'm a part of Los Angeles Collaborative. So all these veteran service organizations and nonprofits come together, and we have a women's networking group. So we're really good at reaching out to the women in Los Angeles. I'm a part of the San Diego Veterans Coalition, and I'm a part of that women's networking group. So we've established it in different counties, and then we've also established it on college campuses, but not to the level. And that's really what Foundation for Women Warriors is. We're keeping our core programs, but we're also building a workshop and then also networking meetings within the next year to really rally around women. But it's intimidating as you get out of service. Some of these women don't have college degrees, so going into a business type networking event can be daunting. How do I dress?
Right.
How official is this going to be? So it's really easing the transition of having a warm, welcoming environment where, you know, you can go in plain clothes, and then that's where the mentorship happens, and then you can bring them into more of that corporate environment.
Those are really good. I mean, because you don't think about it, right? You just don't think about those pieces. And so I know for our listeners, they are probably sitting here going, oh my gosh, tell us a little bit more about the Foundation for Women Warriors. Can you just share a little bit? I know because you brought up the kind of like key things that you focused in on with housing and employment, but give, you know, in a couple minutes here, because we don't have a ton of time, what is kind of the overall mission of the Foundation for Women Warriors?
Okay, so our mission is we exist to serve women veterans and their children so their next mission is clear and continues to impact the world. I think the veteran space has been oversaturated with raising awareness for issues that stigmatize the entire community. So our name, Foundation for Women Warriors, because when you get out of service, just because you're in a new space does not mean you're no longer a warrior. Our programs focus on meeting the basic needs, so things like child care assistance, which is huge, and we've started to really get tied into all the local colleges, USC, SDSU, colleges up in Los Angeles and Orange County, to serve the women that are current students that need child care. Another program that we do is emergency financial assistance, and that's in the form of rental assistance or paying for utilities. Sometimes rent goes up, sometimes your pay goes down, your hours get cut. That incident in your life should not put you at risk for homelessness, but it does. And especially in the lives of women that have children and are trying to take care of their families. So we also do resource and referral. We are the number one nonprofit in Southern California taking care of women. So no one knows women veterans better than we do. If they need any type of mental health assistance, we have a partnership with Soldiers Project. If they need any type of job readiness training, we've been working with Easter Seals and their Bob Hope Veteran Service Program. So we really leverage other partner organizations to kind of put our women through a pipeline of meeting their needs but empowering them. So we honor their service,
right,
but we're also empowering their future.
I love it. Well, no, and I love your whole mission. You know, and for our listeners out there, because I always want to put out the call, I mean, my gosh, if any of our listeners are thinking you want to support or help out, I know donations, I'm assuming, are very welcome as a nonprofit organization. Can you kind of share to, for our listeners, if they want to reach you or raise their hand or get in contact with you, Jody, how do you want to be contacted?
Absolutely. So I encourage everyone to go to our website. It's www.foundation4ww.org, or you can email us at info@f4ww.org.
And say the website again. It's F as in foundation,
www.org. Or you can also reach us at foundation4womenwarriors.org.
Perfect, perfect. And I want to hear a little bit about you and kind of like, you know, for the future, it's like, what are the biggest needs that your foundation has, you know, that you're looking for and support? Let's turn this around on you, because I think there's a lot of people that want to support. I know we're talking about that with you and CWI. You know, we want to be kind of that tipping point and action to support and, you know, work out some programs with you. What do you feel are your biggest needs other than, and I want to say again, donations are always accepted. What are your biggest needs that maybe some of our listeners can step up to do to support the foundation besides donations?
You know, we are a small organization with a very heavy mission. And so we always welcome any type of maybe co-marketing or pro bono advertising. But we also, as we move forward on these networking events, I would just invite people to get on our newsletter, check out what our next event is, come and, you know, be open to the opportunity for mentorship and volunteering for us, whether it's at one of our networking events or at a transition workshop. If you think that you have something to add as a business leader and something that you can give back, whether it's legal advice, financial advice is always welcome. That's something that getting out of the service and budgeting and planning your finances is a struggle after having a set paycheck for so long. So things of that nature, whatever your passion is, share it with us. And that makes you happy and we benefit. I'm a huge promoter of, you know, live your passion, it's your purpose, and when you give it out to other people and share it with other people, it fulfills you, but you're also blessing everybody else with it.
I love it. I can hear your passion in your voice, girl. It's like it sounds very committed and very dedicated. What, you know, kind of look into the future. It's like, what is the future for you? I mean, if you had to kind of share with our listeners what you're hoping in the next year, 2 years, because I know you're fairly new with the Foundation for Women Warriors, but what an amazing mission and ride that you're on. How do you see the future? What would you like the future to be for you? Not necessarily, or maybe it goes in tandem with the foundation.
Absolutely. So, you know, my number one goal is to see very successful women veterans. And that's what I see for the future, and I see the women that we're helping today in 5 years, either volunteering their time, being part of our staff, or working for great women like you, Michelle.
Ah, now look at that. Now you're making me feel all humble. I love it. You know, and we just, again, you know, when you strive to serve and give and all that, and anyway, just thank you for that. Back at you. I think you are too. And, you know, it's interesting, Jody, is for all of our listeners, it's amazing to me that one little thing can be a big thing, right? I mean, one small action, one small donation, any of those things. And I'm kind of curious with you. It's like, have you, like, can you share with us just as something to leave us on a high note, because we're almost out of time, but is there a success story that you can kind of share with one of the veterans that really going through the Foundation for Women Warriors, they just turned around or they made the right connection and through some of the services you offered? Can you share one?
Yeah, absolutely. So we had a client that we helped with child care assistance, and she was a single mom, and she graduates with her undergrad in kinesiology this spring, and she's applying to Stanford and CSU Davis.
Wow.
So, you know, she has plainly said, had it not been for the help of the organization, not just in the form of this child care assistance, but the mentorship, because then she was able to connect with Student Veterans of America and apply for a scholarship through them, that she wouldn't be crossing that stage this spring or applying to grad school. So that is something, it makes me tear up.
Wow.
Because I know these women are so capable and so amazing, and sometimes the opportunity just has to be gifted to someone for them to be able to continue to impact and really make their mark on their next mission.
I like the make your mark on your next mission. That's pretty cool. Well, listen, my dear, I hate to say that we're out of time, but, you know, I know we're excited to kind of contribute any way we can as an association, and to all of our listeners, I hope you will consider supporting the Foundation for Women Warriors. So, Jody, thank you so much for being our guest today. I know this will be more of many to come. We'll be excited to raise money for you at our Women of Influence Awards. And all of our listeners, I just want to say thank you so much for your loyalty every week. We're here every Friday at 2 p.m. and Mondays at 9 a.m. We always try to have some really, let's hope, riveting topics and conversation for women to advance in business. And this is one where I think all of us want an advocate and a mentor. So if you can support a woman veteran, please, please, please do so. So, Jody, thanks again to all of our listeners. Have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday, where our topic for Monday is Don't Stay Stuck. Eliminate your excuses and gain the confidence to achieve your dreams. Our leading lady is Lori Wasaki, and she is the district manager at Jack in the Box. So I think it'll be an interesting conversation. I've read her book, and it's a pretty good book. So do one thing that we always talk about today specifically. It's like I always ask you to support another woman, but today think about supporting a female veteran. Have a great weekend.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.